Okay, good morning, which is Rabbi Krohn. So we are on Davav, on an Aleph, very top line. So when we last met, we talked about the question about whether it is allowed for someone to have intercourse with a basula for the first time on Shabbos. And we framed that question four different ways, fairly complex discussion, but basically there were several concepts to keep in mind as we go on to the next piece. First question is what are the really the elements of the potential Isur? So what's really going on? Is it a case of creating a chabura, creating a wound, or is it a case of what you're doing is that there's conceptually the woman has some accumulation of blood that represents the basula or the basulim, and the person is seeking to release that pool of blood, whatever that means? Or is it simply a matter of the person is just trying to enable the process to happen, and that there's a physical act that has to happen to open up the point of entry so that the act could happen? So there's different variations that are put together to put together the different concepts of the question. And a lot of it frames around a disagreement about the concept of davar she'eino miskaven, when someone does something, does an act, and there's an unintentional consequence of the act. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about what happens there. According to Rabbi Shimon, a davar she'eino miskaven is allowed. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a davar she'eino miskaven is not allowed. Now, there's a caveat that each of them have even within that idea. So although Rabbi Shimon says a davar she'eino miskaven, an unintentional act, is permissible, he would hold there's another concept of psik resha. Psik resha literally means that if there's a chicken and you want to give a child something to play with, so you say a good thing to give the child to play with is the head of the chicken. So what you're going to do is you're going to cut off the head of the chicken to give the child the head of the chicken to play with. And the unintended consequence of that is that the chicken is going to die. So he would say that in that case, where it's absolutely inevitable that the chicken is going to die by cutting off its head, he would say that that's the caveat where he would not allow a davar she'eino miskaven to be permissible. So typically, again, Rabbi Shimon typically allows a davar she'eino miskaven, but if it's something that's an obvious consequence, he would not allow it. Now, Rabbi Yehuda does not allow and does not say it's permissible to have an unintended consequence. However, his caveat is about what we would call a destructive act, something that is mekalkel. So something that is a destructive act, it doesn't really accomplish anything positive, the element that's unintended. He would allow it in his instance. So all of these concepts are going to come to play as we continue on. So let's begin with the top of Abed Aleph. So starting from the beginning of the first line, Bivei Rav Amre, in Rav's yeshiva they taught, Rav Shari, Rav allows someone to have intercourse with the basula for the first time on Shabbos. Ushmuel Asa, but Shmuel does not allow it. Minahar Dari, which is where Shmuel lived, they said the exact opposite. Rav Aser Ushmuel Shari. Then Shmuel, Rav said it was Aser, and Shmuel said it was allowed. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak V'Simanech, and the way you can remember this is Eilu Mechilan Atzman, Eilu Mechilan Atzman. So depending upon where the people lived, if they lived where Rav lived, they said Rav was the one who allowed it. If they lived where Shmuel lived, they said that Shmuel was the one that allowed it. So we're going to start off with the assumption that Rav is the one that would allow it. So, v'rav shari, but did Rav actually allow this to happen? V'hamarav shimi bar chiskiya mishmei derav. So, shimi bar chiskiya says the name of Rav. Hi, misokria dezantie. So, you're talking about where there is a barrel of beer, and the way they would stop up the barrel of beer is that they would put some sort of rag into the lid of the barrel. That would prevent the beer from spilling out. So asar atuke biyamatava. So you're not allowed to push to take that rag and push it back into place into the barrel on Yom Tov. And the reason is that because this thing is basically the stopper at the top of the barrel, it's soaking up beer as it goes along. And when you push it back in to the barrel on Yom Tov, you're going to be squeezing out beer from it, which is a davar she'eino miskaven. And you really don't care that you're squeezing out the beer, but Rav doesn't allow it. So therefore, you might say that Rav doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that allows an unintentional act, but he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who does not allow an unintentional act. But they say, no, Bahau afil Rabbi Shimon mode. Rabbi Shimon would also agree with this, because this is where Rav Shimon's caveat comes in, that this is something that's inevitable. The Abayi v'Rava, the Amar Tavari, they both say, Modi Rabbi Shimon psik resha, the lo yamos. Rabbi Shimon agrees that in the case of, the case of the chicken, right, you're going to cut off its head, you don't really want it to die, you don't care that it dies, but it's obviously going to die. So in a case of a stopper, this thing for the stopper of the beer barrel, even though you're not intending for the beer to come out, it's absolutely going to happen because that's just the way it works. V'ha amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav. Rav Chiya bar Ashi says the name of Rav. Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. No, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, who does not allow an unintentional act. Rav Chana bar Ami amar Shmuel. Halacha Rabbi Shimon. And they say, so this opinion says it's the reverse, right? That Rav and Shmuel, Rav follows Rabbi Yehuda, who would not allow the unintentional act. And Shmuel follows Rabbi Shimon, who would allow the unintentional act. Rav Chiya bar Avin Masti Le Belay Gavra. He set it out deliberately. Rav Amar Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. He says that the halachas are K'Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says no to the unintentional act. Shmuel Amar Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. So here we have an explicit statement that Rav does not follow Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, in a case, he would not allow an unintentional act. So therefore, how would Rav allow a besula someone to have relations with the besula for the first time on Shabbos if he follows Rabbi Yehuda and says that that would not allow an unintentional act? So Gemara answers: Olam Rav k'Rabbi Yehuda sfirle. He definitely holds like Rabbi Yehuda. L'hachlishnad amar dam mifked pakid. But he says what we're dealing with here is, again, going back to the different potential concepts. That's not that we're creating a wound. It's that conceptually the woman has this accumulation of blood in her body. And what he's really doing is he's allowing that blood to come out. It's not that he's creating a wound. And the only way to do that is by creating an opening. And mekalkahu etzel ha-pesach. And what he said earlier, that the caveat for Rabbi Yehuda was a destructive act. So he's doing a destructive act to allow the blood to come out. So it's not that it's a davar she'eino miskaven. It's a davar she'eino miskaven, which he would not allow, but because it's a destructive act, he would allow it. His goal here is not to create a wound. His goal is to open that reservoir of blood. And the way he's doing it is through a destructive act. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would allow it. And according to this is the version that said that the blood is actually coming out by causing a wound, because the only way you can get the blood to come out is by creating this wound. We could say that he's allowing it because it's mikalka, because it's basically a destructive act.
Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about psik resha.
Right, no. So psik resha is a caveat of Rabbi Shimon, who says who would allow davar she'eino miskaven. He says allow davar she'eino miskaven. However, if the consequence is absolutely absolute, he doesn't go that way. Rabbi Yehuda says he does not allow davar she'eino miskaven. However, if it's a destructive act, it's a different category altogether, and he does allow it in that case.
He's creating a wound. The same thing as a destructive act.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, the creating of the wound is just a destructive. It's not. He's not seeking to create the wound. He's seeking to release the blood, and he's doing this destructive act by virtue of creating the wound. So it's not the concept of davar she'eino miskaven. It's a concept that he's doing a destructive act. Right. Okay. Okay. Mesa Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda brings a challenges from a different Mishnah. So you have a girl who is not yet enough of an adult that she is menstruating. and she gets married. Beishamai Omrim, Nostin La Arba Alelos. You give her 4 nights, meaning that because you know she's not menstruating, so today we followed a completely different concept. But in theory, that the Dom Besulin is not the same as Dom Nida, and therefore it doesn't have the same level of Tumah and Tahara. So therefore, you know, if you follow that view, this girl who is not becoming a Nida, she only has Dom Besulin. In theory, Dom Besulin does not create Tumah, and therefore, according to this, and again, we don't follow this today, they would continue to allow to remain to be together as long as it was just Dom Besulin. Beishamin Omrim Nosin La Arba Lelos. We give her 4 nights to have marital relations, during which anything that comes out of her is Tahar, it's not Dom Nida. Beishil Omrim Ad Shetichi Hamaka. We give her only until the time that the wound heals. So in theory, you know, they're having this relationship, these relations. It creates this wound. Beis Hillel says once the wound heals, anything after that is considered Dom Nida. However, he gives mana liros v'nisas, but a girl who's old enough to be menstruating and she gets married. Beishamai Omrim Nosin La Laila Rishon. He says we give her the first night where we consider that blood to be Dom Besulin. After that, any blood she sees is Dom Nida. Beis Hillel Omrim Ad Mosei Shabbos Arba Alelos. Again, remember that the optimal concept is the woman, people get married on Wednesday. So therefore, you give her Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. So he gets 4 nights until Motzei Shabbos for them to have relations. So again, this is brought as a question to Shmuel's view that having relations with the Basula is not allowed. So how are we challenging that? My love, is the Mishnah not saying the Elo Baal, that if he did not successfully have relations with her on any of these nights, Matzi Baal Yilafil B'Shabbos? Are we saying here that we said he has 4 nights, he has Wednesday through Saturday night. One of those nights we're saying is Friday night. So if so, are we saying that if he did not have relations with her yet, he's allowed to have relations with her on Friday night, which would imply that he's allowed to have relations with her for the first time on Friday night. So Amarava Lo Levar Mishabbos. No, it means he can have relations with her on the other nights other than Shabbos. Meaning that he's saying is that the window goes through Saturday night, but it's really does not include Friday night. So Armalei Abaye doesn't like this answer. V'ha ad Motzei Shabbos arba leilos kaseni. We said 2 things together. We said we give her 4 nights until Saturday night. So why do you need to say both things? If you really mean that the window goes through Saturday night, just say the window goes through Saturday night. But you're basically saying they got four tries and they go through Saturday night. So by saying that there's 4 tries, that implies that Friday night is available. You know, Friday night is a day that could be used. El Amaraba Kishabal, the Mishnah is talking about where he had complete relations with her on the first night. Then he is allowed to have relations with her on Friday night because the Dom Besulin would have happened earlier on. So the whole issue was having relations with the Besula where you're going to either create a wound or whatever you're going to do. But because you did that earlier, you did that perhaps on Wednesday night or Thursday night, Friday night is available because you're not concerned about anything happening further because it already happened. Or Ikishabal, well, what about if he already had relations with her before Shabbos, Micah Mashmalan, what's the point of telling us that he has 4 nights and again until Motzei Shabbos? What's the point of telling us both things, right? If the answer here is to say that he really had relations with her already, but he's allowed to continue up till Saturday night, and they're saying 4 nights, that implies that you're allowed to try 4 times. More answers, Ka Mashmalei Mashmalan Deshari Lemivel B'Shabbos. What it's teaching us is that once the Besulim is completely removed, he's allowed to have relations with her on Shabbos, even though the first few times there still might be bleeding as a result. Because even though the first time, in theory, the Besulim was removed, bleeding can happen for the first few times. Even though bleeding may happen on Friday night, you still would allow it. And Kedishmuel, and this is what Shmuel says, Amar Shmuel, Pirtza the chokah muter likanes be b'shabbos. So if there's some kind of entry place to a cave or to a building, and you're allowed to go into it, you know, and it's like a very narrow entry. So let's say it's a cave of sorts, and there's like an easy, you can squeeze into it. You're allowed to go into it. Afal pi shemasher tzruros. Even though, you know, rocks, you might be dislodging rocks. So in theory, if the opening wasn't there, you wouldn't be allowed to create an opening in a cave to enter it. But once there's an opening, you're allowed to squeeze into it, even though, according to Shmuel, you might still cause pebbles to fall out. So the analogy is basically saying that, you know, because the initial act is what caused the basulin to be removed, even though there might be residual bleeding as a result, you're not concerned about that at that, you know, at that point. So Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef brings a challenge. Chassan Pater Mikriya Shma Laila Harishon Amotzi Shabbos. So a chassan who's marrying a virgin is not mechuyav in Kriyat Shma from the first night he gets married until Saturday night. Im lo asamasa, and that is if he did not yet perform the act. So because the concept is that the chassan, because he is preoccupied either with having excitement for doing the act, or alternatively, if he's concerned about whether he'll be able to create the dam besulim, one or the other, or both, he's putter from saying Kriya Shema from the first night through Saturday night, because he's going to be preoccupied. That applies if he did not yet do the act. My love, the Torah Dabai Mival, the mission suggests that this would apply even on Friday night. So again, it's saying that he has until, same question we had earlier, he has until Saturday night, where he's putter from Shema, if he hasn't done it. That implies that he's also putter on Friday night. So if he's putter for Friday night, why is he putter on Friday night? If he's not allowed to have relations with her on Friday night, then he won't be so preoccupied or anxious or anything like that. It won't be on his mind. It's you know, off the table. So why do we worry about Friday night? Why we exempt him from Friday night? Our Malay Abaye, lo tarid v'lo ba'il. No, he's not allowed to. He's not allowed to have relations, but he's still in his mind. He's still all thinking about that he hasn't yet done this, and he's either excited or he is concerned that he wasn't able to get it done in the prior nights, and he's also concerned about whether he's going to be able to create have the dam besulim happen. So the question is, Armalei Rava, umishum tirda pater, if only because he is preoccupied, he is Yotze from Shema. Elama'ata, if that was the case, Tavas Vinasubayami, of someone whose ship sank at sea, Hachinami Depater, is he also exempt from saying Kriyat Shema? He's obviously so preoccupied with what, you know, the tragedy that happened to him, he should also be Pater from Shema. Vichitema Hachinami, and if you'll say that so, Vamar Ababar Zavda Amarav, Avel chayi b'chol mitzvos amuras b'torah, that an avel is still required to do all the mitzvos that it says in the Torah, chutz min tefillin, except for tefillin. Shema b'hen pe'er. You know, we don't really go this way. And again, this is not talking about an one necessarily, but it's talking about someone who's in a velus. This is saying someone who's in a velus is chayi to do all the mitzvos, but in theory, they maybe were, you know, according to this view, we're not supposed to wear tefillin. We don't go this way. So because he is so involved in his Avelis, he still is required to do all the mitzvahs, including Kriyat Shema. So therefore, you know, what are we really saying here, right? We're really saying if it's just a question of preoccupation, if, you know, he's so preoccupied with his Avelis, he should not be chayev to say Kriyat Shema. El Amarav, different way of looking at it. Tanai, it's a different machlokas Tanayim about whether you can have the person can have relations with a besul on Shabbos. The Tani Chada, one Baraisa taught, Imo Asa Masa Rishon, if he did not yet do the first act on the first night, Pater Apisheni, he is also exempt from saying Kriya Shema on Thursday, right? So if he didn't do it Wednesday, he's also Pater from saying Kriya Shema on Thursday. Bisheni, if he didn't do it on Thursday, Pater Apishlishi, he is also exempt from saying Kriya Shema on the third night, which is Friday night. The Tanya Idach, and we learned in a different Braisa, Rishon Visheni Pater, if yes on Wednesday, yes on Thursday, Shlishi Chayev, that's on the third day, which is Friday, he is Chayev. So you have these different Braisas, these different Tanayim that would say, One implies that Friday night is a viable option, and therefore he's putter from Kriya Shema. One says, no, Friday night is not a viable option, and therefore he's not putter from Kriya Shema. Va'abaye, Abaye reads this differently. Hasam nami b'tir deplini. Here, the Brises also disagree about whether just the preoccupation with the fact that he was not able to fulfill the act the prior night is enough to make him not be chayav of Kriya Shema. Because one of the things we said earlier was that although the explanation was, although he's not supposed to do the act, he'll still be preoccupied because he is feeling anxious about the fact that he wasn't able to get it done on Wednesday night or Thursday night. Vani Tanai Barhani Tanai. And the opinions of these Tanayim follow the opinions of other Tanayim. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Hakonis is a Basula, someone who marries a Basula. Lo Yuval B'Tchil B'Shabbos. You should not have relations for the first time on Shabbos. So Chachamim Matir, and the Chachamim allow it. So that's parallel to what we just said, where we said one view says, implies that Friday night is okay, and one view says not. So Man Chachamim, who are the Chachamim that allow it? Amar Rava, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon. The Amar Davar She'enu Miskaven Matar. He would say, again, it's a Davar She'enu Miskaven, and therefore it's allowed. Armale Abaye, Baha Modi Rabbi Shimon, B'sik Reisha Lo Yamos. He holds B'sik Reisha. We just said, you know, that was his caveat. This is an inevitable act, and therefore he shouldn't allow it. Armale Lo Kalol B'Bavelim. This doesn't talk about the people like the Babylonians. She'ein B'kiyin B'hachya. So there's this theoretical concept that the Babylonians did not know how to do, and therefore this does not apply to them. But the theoretical concept is that people have the knowledge of a method of having relations where they will not create, they will not tear the Basulim. Ela yesh b'kiyin b'ataya. But there are people that know how to do this in this, you know, whatever way that they're not going to damage the Basulim. And for them, they would be allowed. So the Gemara doesn't like this. Im kain. Torah Lema, what about this preoccupation? So we know the preoccupation is about the fact that he's not either doesn't know, he's worried about the Basulim or whatnot. In this case, he's going to go about doing this in a way that's not going to impact the Basulim. We're talking about Lishaino Baki. We're talking about someone who does not know how to do this, do it in this way. So therefore, maybe the Gemara should say, Yomru Baki Mat, or someone who knows how to do this in such a way where they're not going to cause the bleeding should be allowed to. She'ena baki aser, and someone who's not allowed, doesn't know how to do it, is aser. So the Gemara answers, rov b'kiyane. Most people know how to do this. Amale rabba barav chanin larbaye. He asks the question, el na'ata, we also learned shushvina and lama, that what they would do is they would have these attendants, and what they would do is they would mapa lama. So they would inspect the sheets ahead of time. They would also make sure that the basula wasn't bringing in her own sheets that were already bloodstained, because the whole goal is to make sure that no one has tried to trick anybody. So they would check the sheets, make sure the sheets on the bed are clean, make sure that no one's bringing in false evidence. And what's the whole point of that if they're going to go through this maneuver of avoiding it? Armalei hasam shema yira v'yavim. Maybe he'll mess up and he'll still see blood, and he'll try to cover up as a result. Therefore, you need that. So let's just finish up. Masi from Ami, he brings it from a Mishnah. Hamapis mursa b'Shabbos, someone who lances a boil on Shabbos. So, you know, a boil is like typically has some sort of fluid in it. Im asis lope, if his goal is to make this opening so that it'll heal better, chayev, he's deliberately creating an opening. V'im l'halse mimen aleicha, if his goal is to remove the fluid or the pus, pater, he's exempt. Hasam pakid va'akid, there in the case of the boil, the fluid is completely within you have this fluid that's kind of sitting within the boil, and therefore it's not really part of the body. Haka pakid lo up akir. Here in the case of Dan Basulin, you know, that this is the case where you might view that the blood is sitting there and it's part of the actual body, so therefore it actually fits into being a wound. So therefore, the analogy of the boil doesn't really apply. So this will stop. Mirz Hashem will pick up again next week. Everyone have a wonderful day.